Now, I did not anticipate that I would be saying this today, but I've always promised to give you my honest assessment, good or bad, of what Trump is doing. And this podcast gives Trump credit by saying that I now believe Trump tricked Netanyahu. Trump played Netanyahu instead of the other way around. Now, let's back up for a second. I will explain this, and of course, you are free to agree or disagree, but hear me out on this because it's really fascinating. Number one, we know that Trump has been under the control of the Zionist regime. I mean, it looks like Israel has veto power over all the members of Trump's administration, his cabinet, U.S. senators, you know, everything. And of course, there was a lot of Zionist money that came in to the Trump campaign and the GOP. And by all accounts, just on the surface, it looks like Trump is completely controlled by Netanyahu. And clearly he has been for quite some time, but maybe Trump doesn't want to be controlled by Israel, because Trump is a man with a very strong sense of self-determination and also pride, right? And also maybe a perception of grandeur, you know? I mean, Trump believes in Trump more than he believes in Netanyahu or Israel or Zionism or anything else. He believes in Trump. And it might just be, I'm leaning in this direction now, that Trump is trying to get the Zionist monkey off his back. But in order to do so, he couldn't just come out and dismiss Israel's concerns, etc. So what Trump had to do was to set up a series of events that would force Netanyahu to declare victory when there was no victory, and to set up Israel for new elections where Netanyahu will almost certainly be removed from power. And in order to do this, oh, and also Netanyahu would then be quickly arrested and probably tried for treason. Who knows what else? But Netanyahu has been tricked into a corner, and he's got no obvious way out of this. So in order to pull this off, Trump had to really do back-channel deals with Iran. So the back-channel deal with Iran, as I was covering over the last couple of days, well, it includes the war theater that we've just witnessed, where Trump would agree in advance, hey, we're going to bomb your nuclear facilities, but we're not going to bomb them too hard. We're not really going to destroy them. And we're giving you a heads up so you can evacuate everything in advance, which Iran did. They evacuated everything. There was no nuclear material that was destroyed in the bombing. No real infrastructure was destroyed. If anything, it delayed Iran, you know, maybe a couple of months. And that's actually the conclusion from now the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA, has reached the same conclusion, which Trump is publicly disagreeing with, because he has to pursue the narrative that we, America, we destroyed Iran's nuclear capabilities completely, that we totally obliterated them, because that's the war theater that is necessary to trap Netanyahu. So allow me to continue to explain this. Okay, so America does its war theater bombing of the Fordo plant and the other plants, the other two facilities. Nothing is really damaged. Nobody is killed. It's all theater, just big explosions, but nothing else. A lot of dirt thrown into the sky. And then it's prearranged that Iran will, of course, fire six or more missiles back at an evacuated U.S. base in Qatar. And that no one will be hurt, no one will be killed, no injuries, no deaths, and it's a symbolic launch by Iran. Now, I told you all of this on Sunday, that this is exactly how this is going to play out. And then it did play out on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're getting additional confirmations that this is exactly what's going on. Now, the result of all of this is that since Trump announced victory And since he has said, you know, this is it, this is the end of the war, it's over, it's done, and Israel needs to stop attacking, and Iran needs to stop attacking. Even though Israel initially violated the ceasefire, things have calmed down since then, so we'll see how it holds. But he forced Netanyahu in a position where Netanyahu had to announce victory. And so did Iran. In Iran, there's a massive victory celebration. We won. We stood up against, you know, the great Satan. We launched missiles at them. We damaged Tel Aviv. You know, we launched missiles at a U.S. military base. We got back against the great Satan. So they're dancing and celebrating. And then in Israel, Netanyahu had to proclaim victory to say, we destroyed Iran's nuclear program. Because that's what Trump said. And if Netanyahu goes against that, even though some other people in his country are starting to turn against that, if Netanyahu goes against that, then he'll be calling Trump a liar and he'll lose Trump's support entirely. So Netanyahu has been tricked into going along with the faked, staged celebration of victory, when in reality, Israel has not been victorious. Israel has very nearly been destroyed in terms of Tel Aviv and some of its infrastructure, and the missiles from Iran were causing devastating damage daily, to the point where Israel was so desperate for a ceasefire that Netanyahu was willing to go along with this. But Israel has not won this. Israel has lost. Israel has lost its deterrence. It can no longer credibly threaten Iran. Iran's no longer afraid of Israel. And many other countries are no longer afraid of Israel like they were before, because they're realizing that Israel can be punished. Israel doesn't have magical armor that blocks every attack. Israel has also lost the goodwill of most of the international community, because Israel continues to commit crimes against humanity, genocide, surprise attacks, assassinations. The Washington Post even ran audio recordings of Israeli intelligence calling up senior military officials in Iran and threatening them, telling them that if they did not denounce Iran, that Israel's intelligence services would murder their wives and children. And those recordings have been released. And that's pretty vile right there. That's the kind of thing that Israel does. It shows their nature. They're incredibly evil. Meanwhile, Iran has managed to position itself as the rational actor and the victim of Israeli aggression. So Israel has lost everything in this, and Iran has gained. Iran has gained the justification for acquiring nuclear weapons, for example. Iran has gained the goodwill of most of the international community for standing up against the deranged lunatic Israelis, and also to America, which is perceived in a similar way internationally. China and Russia are congratulating Iran for taking the stand and for being able to endure the attacks. Iran has actually just cemented its position as a key leader on the global stage. So for the new multipolar world, where U.S. dollar hegemony is waning and BRICS nations are rising, the conversations from here forward have to be not just China and Russia. They have to be China, Russia, and Iran. I mean, this really elevated Iran's position on the world stage in a major way. This gives Iran more diplomatic power, more credibility, and it also showed the world that the so-called military superiority of the West is done. It's obsolete now. That the weapons from Eastern countries, such as Iran or Russia, as we're seeing in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, we're seeing that the West's weapons are obsolete, and it's weapons of countries like Iran and Russia that are vastly superior. How else is Tel Aviv getting bombed into oblivion? It's because Iran's ballistic missiles are getting through, and the hypersonic missiles are getting through. And how is it that Russia has not been defeated in this war with Ukraine? Well, it's because Russia has vastly superior weapons and much higher rates of industrial output, that Russia can produce the artillery, Russia can produce the hypersonic missiles. And it's also been reported now that Russia is going into mainstream production of its Oreshnik missile systems. And I forgot the exact number, but it's something like one system per day that they're going to be able to produce, something like that. Maybe it's 300 a year, which is a little under one a day, but you know, it's a significant number given the devastation of just one of those systems. You know, imagine one per day in Russia's possession. So that's coming online as well. So what the world just witnessed in the greater context here is that NATO could not defeat Russia. The US and NATO combined could not defeat Russia. The US and Israel combined could not defeat Yemen, nor even, not even thinking of defeating Iran. Trump wouldn't even dare go there, you know, boots on the ground and all these other nonsense fantasy narratives of people like Mark Levin and others. No way, never going to happen. So what you've actually just witnessed here is, at least this is my interpretation, Trump did a deal with Iran in order to get the U.S. more and more out of the war in the Middle East and to trap Netanyahu in a much weaker position, which will probably ultimately result in Israel being largely nullified or even destroyed slash abandoned, economically devastated over time. So if this is true, then Trump is not Israel's puppet, as even I had warned seemed to be the case. And maybe Trump was just playing all of us. Maybe he was playing along with Israel's puppet masters in order to create a compelling illusion that he was on their side the whole time. But maybe in reality, Trump was working against Israel's interests in order to free the United States from Israel's control. We'll know more in the days and weeks ahead. If Trump stays out of this war, then we'll know that he's serious about the defeat of Israel. But if Trump allows himself to be sucked back into the war, then we'll know that the Zionist influence is winning once again. So it's very important to watch from here forward and just see where this goes next. Obviously, I'm hoping for and praying for America first. I'd love to be able to cheer Trump and everything that he's doing for America. And maybe that's his plan, and maybe he's just about to get there, but he had to deal with this Zionist agenda first. And this is a very clever way to deal with it. Now, if you think about this, once Iran acquires nuclear weapons, then Israel's days are, or at least its influence, is very limited in the region. Because at that point, Israel cannot credibly threaten everybody saying that we have nuclear weapons and almost nobody else does, and we can do whatever we want in Gaza or Lebanon or what have you, because Iran can then say, well, we have nuclear weapons, and Israel, if you don't stop bombing civilians and committing war crimes in Gaza, we will nuke you. And although that threat might have seemed crazy 2 years ago, today, most of the world would actually agree with that. Most of the world sees Israel today as a demonic, evil, criminal cabal that most countries would say needs to be removed from the map. So Iran wouldn't meet much resistance if that scenario were to surface in the future. And the only reason that's the case is because, number one, Israel has been incredibly evil and demonic and destructive and cruel. But secondly, Iran has expertly positioned itself as the victim. Because, well, it is the victim. But Iran has not over-retaliated. All of Iran's retaliations have been measured and even minimized. So Iran has exercised great discipline in its retaliatory responses, even doing a deal with Trump, while Israel has exercised no discipline, no maturity, no humanity. And this contrast is becoming clear to the entire world. And what's interesting to me about this is that you don't have to agree with the Iranian regime government, which, like every government, has its own level of corruption and incompetence and cover-ups and whatever. You don't have to practice Islam. You don't have to be a Shia Islam. You don't have to love Iran's, you know, Khomeini leadership. To recognize that Iran actually was the more mature actor in all of this, that Iran outsmarted Israel. And that's really saying something, because Israel is just absolutely shocked at this series of events. This has not happened before in Israel's history since 1948. They've been the one dominating everything up to this point. Israel has been calling all the shots. Israel has been able to dish out damage to everybody without taking much damage itself. And so Iran just changed that entire equation, and it will never go back to the way it was. Now, there's one more factor in this that I think is highly relevant, and it's one that a few people have spoken about, like Alex Craner and Tom Luongo and others in certain very specific contexts. But I believe that Trump has really been at war with the British Empire, the crown. And, you know, MI6 was deeply involved in waging the disinformation war against Trump in his first term. It was MI6 agents that put together the Russian dossier that was behind the impeachments of Trump. And Trump does not forget that. He knows that as long as the British crown exists, then America can never be free. And it's the British crown that's also propping up Israel right now. And it's the British crown, like Boris Johnson, for example, that kept the war going between Ukraine and Russia and tried to strong arm America into that war. I believe that Trump knows it's the Brits or the British leadership that are actually involved in always trying to strong arm the USA into military conflicts, subjecting the US to all of the expenses and the losses of men and military equipment when it comes to, you know, fighting the conflicts around the world. And I think Trump is tired of that. And Trump also knows that the British crown is pure evil. It is satanic, and it's engaged in world dominance and control. And one of the best ways to counter the British crown, believe it or not, is to weaken Israel and have a stabilizing balancing force with Iran. And Iran acquiring nuclear weapons would be precisely the way to do that. And this series of events right now has squarely put Iran in a position where it will now acquire nuclear weapons. And once it does, Israel will be, in essence, neutered, and the British crown will lose out on a lot of its ability to control and influence events in the Middle East, because far fewer countries will be afraid of the crown and of Israel. And what's going to happen next after that is you're going to see Syria have another counter-revolution. So Syria is currently under the control of, you know, various factions, but it's more of a Western control, including under the influence of Turkey. But the status of that really depends on the ability of Israel to be able to project power credibly, and it has just lost that capability in a large way because of the events that Trump coordinated with Iran. So this means that when Syria flips back, then Iran will once again have access to all the road routes that go through Syria, as the new Syrian government would be a pro-Iranian, pro-Russian type of government. And then that will reestablish land routes between Iran and Lebanon, which of course helps provide equipment to the Hezbollah and other resistance forces there that are countering Israel's, you know, genocide and aggression. So you can see that the inability of Israel to defeat Iran is actually a key defeat of British control over the entire region. And you might say, well, why would Trump do that? Why would Trump do that? Because it just seems like it's handing, you know, the Middle East over to other world powers. Well, I believe the answer is because Trump wants to get back to doing deals and trade and economic growth. I don't think Trump really cares that much, you know, who's in charge of Iran. Trump just wants to have trade with all the countries mentioned, China, Russia, Iran, and Israel for that matter, and other countries in the region. Trump knows that the real victory would be an economic victory. You know, strength through abundance, actually, is perhaps what it should be called. Not peace through strength. I think that's what the Republicans are saying now, peace through strength. No, I think that Trump believes in strength through abundance, that we all become stronger through economic trade and not through war. War makes us all weaker and war disrupts trade. But economic exchange makes us much stronger, and it also makes countries more friendly to each other. But in order to have anything resembling friendship or trade in the Middle East, you have to dismantle the Zionist regime. And that's exactly what Trump appears to be doing. Now, you are free to agree or disagree, obviously, with this analysis. I might disagree with myself tomorrow. That's how crazy this is. It's very difficult for any of us because one day Trump demands that Iran have a total surrender, you know, and then the next day he's cooperating with them to stage fake war theater. But, you know, maybe all the verbal talk and surrender and all that was also part of the, you know, World Wrestling Federation theatrics. Probably was. But I do admit it's very difficult for any of us to track what's happening. You know, the analysis on this runs the full gamut, and we all have to have some patience with each other and with our different analyses, because nobody knows for sure what's in Trump's mind. I don't even think God knows what is in Trump's mind at this point. It's like on any given day, it could be something totally different. But I thank you for listening to this analysis. This is laying out, I guess you would call it a 5D chess. And maybe somebody out there will accuse me of like, oh, this sounds like QAnon. Well, I am not at all a follower of QAnon stuff, whatever. I think that was a fake intelligence psyop. But I'm just laying out for you, based on the evidence, that you know, clearly this last stage of the war was all fake. You know, clearly Trump and Iran are working together, and clearly he trapped Netanyahu into a corner where Netanyahu has to declare victory. And that's exactly what has happened. And that really limits Netanyahu from being able to call for the U.S. to re-enter the war. So, you know, Trump has played some kind of chess move here. You know, it's not QAnon to say that. It's just an observation of reality. Now, does that mean he's going to succeed all the way? No. Maybe the Zionists take control of Trump's next decision. Who knows? Maybe they threaten his family, or I'm sure they've already tried that, so that's probably not it. But there are factors that we can't know, and so we're just taking our best guess about everything. And our best guess can change from day to day, so take all of this with a grain of salt. Just like you, I'm observing events and attempting to analyze in good faith as best I can. I'm giving Trump credit where I think he's doing positive things for America. And I'm criticizing Trump where he's doing things that I think are negative or out of alignment with the core beliefs that I follow. So I'm just trying to be honest about what Trump is doing. And right now it looks like he's pulling us out of the Zionist influence spider web is what it looks like. So we'll see. But thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. Brighteon.com, pray for America, pray for peace, and thank you for listening today. Hey, if you want to get some really high-end foods, storable foods, certified organic, lab tested, plus all of our personal care products, our nutritional supplements, iodine, survival gear, and much more. Shop with us, healthrangerstore.com. You can find it all there. We've got a sale running right now on certain food supplies. You can find that at healthrangerstore.com/clean food. That'll get you to the landing page there. So thanks for listening. Take care now. With so much uncertainty in the world, the food supply chain is getting hit hard. Food's going to become a lot more expensive as energy prices go up because of, you know, attacks on oil fields and the Strait of Hormuz and all of that that's going on. So we want to help you get prepared because I think we're entering an era of really something that escalates into World War III. And so we now have started labeling our food buckets. We have them labeled by the number of days that they cover. And during this current sale, which is happening here, June 24th through the 27th, if you mix and match, choose any six items from this list, you'll save an additional 8% off the prices here. We've got different varieties of mini buckets. We've got the 28-day food supply. That's 28 days for one person. It's a mega bucket kit of, in this case, organic, gluten-free, different varieties available. You can click on that for more. Or you can get a legumes lovers pack here. You can get longevity grains. You can get super seeds. These are special packs. You can click on any of those. Or, you know, here we have our organic blueberry vanilla pancake mix. Here's our wheat-free macaroni and cheese with no added salt, etc. Here's our Ranger bucket set. All of these are available now, and you can clearly see how many days they cover, and that's calculated at 2250 calories per day. That's 2250 per day for one person. So mix and match those, and you'll save an additional 8%. That's June 24th through the 27th. That's available now. We can help you get this food. We have it in stock. It's ready to ship from Central Texas right now. We can get it into your hands over the next few days. Take advantage of the sale price. Again, mix and match any six from this page. And yeah, here's some on my desk too to show you what they look like in person. Mix and match any of these to save an additional 8%. And I can assure you, this food will never be this price again because of, you know, the devaluation of the dollar, the supply chain disruptions, increasing a cost of energy and transportation, etc. So take advantage of this now, and thank you for your support.